Will waited while Jack totaled up his bill. Unfortunately, Jack had spoken a bit too loudly. Already overly curious about what the store owner had to say to the deputy marshal, the four card players' conversation had stopped, and the game halted while they strained to hear.
I'll take another shot of that whiskey. It ain't half bad for moonshine. You can put this on the bill if you want.
No, sir. It's on the house.
Much obliged.
Nate Bingham, a tall, angular man with a white scar splitting about a week's growth of beard, got up from his chair. His two friends, Sonny Thompson and Pete Scoggins, glared at Burns.
If there's gonna be any free drinks offered, then I reckon we sure as hell ought to be the ones getting them, since we already bought two jars of this rot gut. I don't see no reason to waste it on that damn lawman anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, maybe you're right, Nate. I gave the deputy a free drink because he bought a fair amount of goods from me. I reckon you and the boys deserve one, too, since you've given me a lot of business.
Well, now that's more like it, Jack, but I don't cotton a drink with no low-down lawman. You got no business in this place where decent men are drinking. So the sooner you get your ass back on your horse and get yourself east of the railroad, the better chance you got of getting back to Fort Smith alive.
Be careful, Nate. I heard some things about this Jasper.
Shut up, Sonny! There's three of us against him. What's he gonna do except crawl out of here like the damn dog he is? Well, what are you gonna do, lawman? It's just you, all by your lonesome without nobody to back you up.
Maybe we ought to just let him go.
The hell I will! I'm calling him out! What are you gonna do, lawman?
Standing at the counter, his back partially turned toward the belligerent drunk, Will did not move.
You're calling me out, are you? What's it gonna be? Face to face out in the street? Or are you figuring on the three of you just blazing away as soon as I turn around?
Well, I reckon you'll just have to wait and find out, won't you, lawman?
Which one of you will claim that it was you that did the killing? Hell, you're just all mouth. Without your two friends, you ain't got the spine to stand up against me.
He needed a piece of luck of some kind to gain an advantage. By pure chance, it came in the door at that moment.
Hey, old crook, you still selling moonshine?
Billy Avery swaggered toward the counter, a wide grin parting the gray whiskers that covered a good portion of his face, unaware of the situation he had walked in on. His outburst had startled everyone in the store, and all but one had reacted by unconsciously looking toward the source.
Ooh.
Aware of the three men standing at the half wall glaring at him then, he started to back away toward the door. Nate Bingham turned back toward the counter and found himself staring at the business end of a Winchester 73 and the cold eyes of the deputy marshal.
Now hold on there. Don't go and do nothing crazy. There's still three of us. You can't get all of us before one of us gets you.
You'll be the first to go down. If I see any one of you reach for a weapon, the big mouth here will get the first bullet, and I'll also get one of your pals before the first gun is drawn. I don't know how quick any one of you can draw your pistol and fire it, but I'm damn sure how fast I can cock this rifle after I shoot you down. And I'm betting on myself to get two of you for certain. I don't know for sure about the one left, but I'm thinking I've got a good chance to get at least one round in him before I'm done. If you don't believe me, then one of you make your move, and we'll see.
Sonny took a couple of steps backward.
Hey, don't go for that gun!
Now, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna let you boys off easy. This time. Just because I've got more important things I've gotta do than waste time on two-bit thieves like you. What's your name, mister?
Billy Avery. I ain't out to cause you no trouble. I'd just be on my way.
You just hold it right there, Billy. I've got a job for you. I want you to step over there behind those three and lift their guns out of the holsters and bring them over here and put them on the counter. Hurry up.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Burns, pull me a few feet of rope off of that roll on the end of the counter.
Will watched the three men as Billy walked behind the three and carefully drew the first two handguns one by one. But when he reached for Sonny Thompson's .44, Sonny decided he had time to take his .44 out of the holster. Sonny's weapon dropped to the floor, while he staggered backward to land on his back, clutching his right thigh.
You shot me!
I did. and it was out of kindness of my heart that I didn't shoot to kill.
Will glanced at Nate then.
I can see by the look on your face, big mouth, that you're wondering now, did he cock that rifle after he shot? Well, I've got a question for you. Did you see a spent cartridge on the floor anywhere?
I see it. It's yonder, up against the counter. I swear, you must have cranked that lever before that bullet hit that feller's leg.
Pick up his pistol.
Will waited while the now excited man hurried to bring the weapons to the counter.
Now, Mr. Burns, I want to see how good you are at tying knots. Bring that rope.
With his rifle trained on the outlaws, Will led Jack Burns to stand behind them.
Put your hands behind your back.
Oh, you're mighty damn lucky you got the jump on me, or things would have turned out a whole lot different.
Put your hands behind your back!
When Nate still didn't comply, Will wrapped him sharply upside his head with the barrel of his rifle. Nate was staggered, almost falling, but immediately stuck his hands behind him while Jack bound his wrists together. When it was Pete's turn, he already had his hands behind him, having seen what it cost not to respond. Using the one long length of rope, Will had Jack loop the free end around the wrists of both men, drawing them close together. Will turned to the wounded Sonny then, who was still lying on the floor.
Get up and stand next to him.
I can't stand up! You shot me! I need a doctor!
You've still got one good leg.
Will reached down with his free hand and grabbed Sonny by the collar.
Give me a hand, Mr. Burns.
The two of them stood Sonny up and bound him up with his partners.
There's a Creek Light Horse policeman headquartered here, right?
That's right. Marvin Big Sky. He's most likely down at the council house. Let me hear.
Will turned to see a broad-shouldered man with long black hair in two braids down his back. He carried a rifle in his hand.
We heard a shot, so I came to see.
He took a long look at the three men tied together before turning to address Will.
Are you Will Tanner?
I am.
I heard you were coming.
How'd you hear that? There ain't no telegraph in Okmulgee, is there?
Indian telegraph. Works faster than white man's wire. Sam Black Crow sent word.
Well, I'm glad you showed up. Maybe you can help me out here.
We got a lockup room in the bottom of the council house. I can hold them there.
Come on, I'll help you take these three to the council house. Then I've got to get riding. You three, head for the door.
We can't walk nowhere all bunched up like this. And Sonny with only one good leg.
It's either walk up there in a bunch or get dragged up there by a horse. So you might as well get started.
They reached the council house, and the outlaws saw their accommodations.
This ain't nothing but a smokehouse.
It's got a stout door and a good lock, though, in case you're worried about somebody breaking in on you.
This place is for Injuns. You ain't supposed to put no white prisoners in an Injun jail.
That's all right. You boys ain't prisoners. You're guests of the Creek Nation. We hope you enjoy your visit with us.